The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Ta'anit Daf Chavtet. Today's daf is being studied La'inu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied Berfu'a Shelema Eliyahu Hayim Ben Shafia Sophia. El narefanalo, betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael, amen. We begin today's daf on Chaftet Amud Rishon, and we are on the second line. And the Gemara begins. B'tishah be'av negzar alavotenu shelo yikansu la'aris. It was on Tishah be'av that our forefathers in the Midbar was decreed upon them not to enter Eretz Yisrael. That was after the episode of the Meragelim, when they came back and gave the negative report about Eretz Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael accepted the report, and they cried, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on them that they are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara now needs to prove the timeline, and how do you know that that indeed happened on Tishah B'Av? So the Gemara says, Min Alan, how do you know Dichtiv? So the Gemara is going to really take us back all the way to the beginning of the history of the Midbar in order to track every event to show you how the Meragelim came back on the 8th of Av, and the people accepted their report and they cried on that night. Like what I will prove now. Dichtiv, as it says, Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana shenit pe'echad l'chodesh u'kama mishkan. So the first pasuk tells us when the Mishkan was inaugurated. It was the second year of the Jewish people in the Midbar, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, who came a Mishkan. Ve'amar Mor, we have a statement. Shana Rishona Asa Moshe ta Mishkan. The first year, Moshe Rabbeinu actually they built the Mishkan. Shiniya Hekim Moshe et a Mishkan. In the second year, that's the year that Moshe Rabbeinu inaugurated the Mishkan. Ve'shalach Meragelim. So we know that the Meragelim was sent in the second year, the same year that the Mishkan was inaugurated. Uchtiv, Vayhi Bashana Shinit Bachodesh Hasheni, Be'aslim Bachodesh. It was on the 20th of Iyar, second month, 20th day. Na'ala Anan Me'al Mishkan Ha'edut. It says the Anan, the clouds of glory, they rose from the Mishkan, which means that the Jewish people began to travel. Uchtiv, Vayis'u me'ar Hashem, derech sheloshet yamim. So the Jewish people now traveled from Har Hashem, from Har Sinai. They traveled a journey of 3 days. Amar Rav Chama bar Hanina, ve'oto hayom, saru me'achare Hashem. On that day, that it says, Vayis'u me'har, that she brings down, you could learn it, Vayis'u maher, which means they went quickly. The way that she says it is mehar lashon maher akshav, which means they now traveled away quickly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means after Har Sinai they left on the 20th of Iyar. They left for 3 days, and that already began the downfall of Klal Yisrael. Uchtiv, what does it say? For example, what happened? V'ha'asafsuf asher b'kirbo hitavu ta'ava. The rabble amongst Klal Yisrael, now they had a craving. They had craving mi'achilenu basar. They wanted meat. They started complaining about the food. V'yashubu v'yivku gam b'nei Yisrael. And they started to cry and complain. Uchtiv, ad chodesh yamim. And this took place, the Borei Olam gave them the meat, right, for a 30-day, actually, we'll say for a chodesh period. Now, let's take that, where that brings us to. If they left Har Sinai on the 20th, and they traveled for 3 days, that's 20, 21, 22. Okay, then they complained about the meat, and they wanted meat and so on. So Borei Olam gave it to them for 29 days, according to Rashi. Because when it says Chodesh Yamim, that she learns it's not a Chodesh of 30 days, it's going to a lunar month. How much is Chodesh Yamim in the lunar month? It's 29 days. So from the 22nd of Iyar, counting 29 days, so the Gemara says, Dehavilu Esrim v'tamten b'sivan. That would take you to the 22nd day of Sivan. Okay, so that's the way we're making the calculation. So you have 7 of Iyar, okay, plus the 22 of Sivan, that's 29. Right, so now we're holding already, let's just review the history we went through. So we're in the second year. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Mishkan is inaugurated. And then we go to the 20th of Iyar, that's when the Anan goes off to Mishkan, and Bnei Yisrael start to travel for 3 days. 3 days takes you to the 22nd of Iyar, and that's when the Asaf Suf, the rabble, starts to complain. What do you want meat? I'll give you meat for 1 month, right? Till it comes out of your noses, the Pasuk says. 30 days is really not 30 days, as she says it's 29 days. What is this? Chodesh Yamim? Chodesh, a lunar month? And that brings you to the 22nd of Sivan. Uktiv. And it says, "Vatisager Miriam Shivat Yamim." Now, Miriam, after following the sequence of the Torah, she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, and she got punished as a result of it. What was the punishment? She got leprosy, and she was quarantined for 7 days. Now, from the 22nd of Sivan, 7 days, the Avalu Esrim V'Tishah B'Sivan. So that takes you to the 29th day of Sivan. And what does it say right after the episode of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about her brother? Uchtiv shelach lecha anashim. That's when the Meragelim were dispatched to Eretz Yisrael. V'tanya b'esrim v'tishra b'sivam shalach Moshe Meragelim. On the 29th of Sivan, that's when the Meragelim were dispatched. Uchtiv v'yeshuvu mitura ares mekes 40 yom. Right? So they came back at the end of 40 days. So comes the Gemara and says, Hane arba'im yom, these 40 days that you're counting, nechi had havu. It's minus 1. Why is it minus 1? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hane arba'im nechi had, bet mesivan, because you have 2 of Sivan, because they went on the 29th. Sivan was maleh. So you have 29 and 30. That's 2 days. V'chaftet metamuz. Right? You have 29 of Tammuz, because Tammuz usually is haser. So that takes you to 31. V'chet me'av. And then 8 days of av. Hava lamitet. Means if you make the calculation that 2 days of Sivan, which is the 29th and the 30th, 29 days of Tammuz, that's 31. And then, if you count that they came back on the 8th of Av, that'll only bring you to 39 days. We want to say that the 8th of Av was the 40th day. Because they came back on the 8th of Av, which was day 40, and they cried that night. That night is Lil Chave Av. So therefore, according to the calculation over here, the 8th of Av is only day 39 from when they were dispatched. That Gemara says, "Amar Rabbeye, Tammuz da'ishata miluye baliuha." That year, Tammuz was maleh, and therefore there was 30 days in Tammuz, and therefore the 8th of Av was actually the 40th day. And then when they came back on the 8th, they cried that night, and therefore they got punished not to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, how do we know that that year Tammuz was maleh? Dichtiv. Kara alai mu'ed, God literally called the mu'ed. Mu'ed in this context over here refers to Rosh Chodesh. Lishbor bahurai, in order to break bahurai, the chosen one. In this case, is the Bet Hamikdash, which is the Yom Ibur. The extra day is called the mu'ed because that day potentially could be Rosh Chodesh. Day 30 can be the Yom Ibur, the extra day of Tammuz, or can be the first day of Av. So they call that day the Mu'ed. Kara alai Mu'ed, God says. I called an extra day for the Mu'ed, which means I made it part of Tammuz. Lishbor Bahurai, because God wanted to destroy the Bet HaMikdash on the same day, Tisha B'Av, which was a day that was earmarked for destruction. So that was the same day also that God wanted to make the Meragelim. We wanted to bring it on the same day. Comes the Gemara and says, "Uchtiv." And what does it say? "Vatisa kol ha'edah." They all raised their voices. They all cried on that night. Amar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yohanan. We're going to read that God Tabach. Oto Hayom Tishra Be'av Haya. See, that day that they cried was Tishra Be'av. Amar Lahem. Right? It's even better, according to the Masoret Tashas, Oto Laila, Lel Tishra Be'av Haya. Right? That night was the night of Tishra Be'av. Amar Lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem bechitem bechiya shel hinam. You're crying for no reason. She says, I told you that the land is good, and now you're accepting these the slander against Eretz Yisrael, and you're crying that you don't want to go in. Ani ekbar lachem bechiya ledorot. Now you're going to have a reason to cry, which means that now you're going to be punished, and you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And every year on that night of Tisha B'Av, about 15,000 of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar died on that night until the 40 years were over, till all Bnei Yisrael had a gezerah on them not to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the bechiyah of chinam led to a bechiyah of dorot. So that's how we know Tisha B'Av was the night that Bnei Yisrael were decreed not to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now we go to the next one. Harev Abayit Barishona. So he said the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, the first one. So the Gemara says, Minalan, how do you know? Dichtiv. Because it says in the Pasuk, Ubachodesh Hamishi, in the fifth month, which is Av. Bishvala Chodesh, which on the seventh of the month, He Shina Chasle Shana le Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, in the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Ba Nebuzar Adan, Rav Tabahim, Nebuzar Adan was the butcher. Eved Melech Babel, butcher meaning the slaughterer of the Jews, of the servant of the king of Babel, came to Yerushalayim, v'yisrof et bet Hashem. So according to this, it says he burnt the Bet HaMikdash on the 7th of Av. Uchti, we have another pasuk that says, u'bachodesh ha'chamishi, be'asor la'chodesh, hi shenat sha'asre shenat la'melech, Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel, ban Nebuchadnezzar Adan Rav, tabachim, amad lefnei melech Babel Yerushalayim. This pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar Adan came on the 10th, and he stood in front of Nebuchadnezzar. So make up your mind. Doesn't say anywhere over here that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th. This is either the 7th or the 10th. How do we reconcile these two? Pesukim. Vetanya, we have a brayta. Yifshar lomar b'shva'a, sharek kevan ne'emar b'asor. Yifshar lomar b'asor, sharek kevan ne'emar b'shva'a. Which means, you can't say it happened on the 7th because it says it happened on the 10th. You can't say it happened on the 10th because it happened on the 7th. So make up your mind, how do you reconcile these two pesukim by Nebuzar Adan? Ha-ketzad v'shev'a nechnesu nochrim na'echal. On the 7th day, that's when the goyim entered the echal, the sanctuary of the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'achnu, and they ate, and they partied, and they reveled. Ve'kilkilu, and they committed all sorts of abominations in the Beit HaMikdash itself. Ve'kilkilu bo shivi'i shemini. And they sat in the Beit HaMikdash and made all this type of abominations for the 7th and the 8th. Uchi'i samuch lahashecha. And on the 9th of Ab, close to sunset, meaning at the end of the 9th, hitzi tubo etaur. They put the Beit HaMikdash aflame. Ve'aya doleg ve'olech kol hayom kulo. And it burnt the entire 10th. Shne'emar, oy lanu, the pasuk says, kifana yom, because today is over, finishing, this is referring to the Tisha B'Av, kiyenatu slale arev, which means the shade already is coming down. The darkness is setting forth on the end of the night. It's an oy lanu. Woe to us, because that's when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, at the end of the 9th day. And that's why it says that on the 7th, the Nebuzar Adan came. They partied for the 7th, for the 8th, for the 9th. And then the Nebuzar Adan came back to Nebuchadnezzar on the 10th and told him the job was executed. The Ha'inu Damar Rabbi Yohanan, and this is what Rabbi Yohanan said, Ilmale Hayiti Be'oto Ador, if I was around in that generation, Lo Kibativ Ela Ba'asiri, I would have made the fast on the 10th. Of Av, because the majority of the Beit HaMikdash was burnt on the 10th. Really, the day of the destruction was the 10th of Av. So the question is, and why do rabbis make it on the ninth of Av then? It started on the ninth towards sunset, but when did the Beit HaMikdash really burn? It burnt on the 10th of Av, and the majority burnt on the 10th. So Rabbi Hanan said, if I was around when they were making the Tekana, I would have voted 10th of Av. V'Rabbanan, what's the logic of the Hakamim? Atchalta de Pur'anuta Adifa. Atchalta de Pur'anuta. Which means you go when the beginning of the Pur'anut happens. Which means you go when the calamity begins. She says, once the fire is set, then it's a matter of time. Everything's set into motion already. So therefore the fire was set on the 9th of Av. So the 9th of Av is the day of calamity, day of destruction. Comes the Gemara and says, Ubashiniya minalan. You told me in the Mishnah that the second Beit HaMikdash was also destroyed on Tshabe Av. How do you know that? Gemara says, Detanya, we have a braita. Megalgelin zechut leyom zakai vechova leyom hayav. Because we have a klal. Good things happen on good days. God orchestrates good things to happen on positive days, and bad things happen on days that are earmarked for bad. So therefore, it makes sense that it happened on Shabbat. Shabbat is designated for Hurban. So therefore, Megalgelin Hayav Leyom Choba, Leyom Hayav, which is, this is a guilty day. This is a terrible day. So that day was earmarked for future destruction as well. Why? Because a lot of calamities happen on Shabbat. She says, Degilin Boraot. A lot of Raot happened on that day. Amru, it was said, now we're reading the Mahari Landau's amendments over here. Kesheharei Beit HaMikdash B'rishona, Oto Hayom Tisha'a Be'av Haya. That day that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed with Tisha'a Be'av. U'motza'e Shabbat Haya. It was destroyed on a Motza'e Shabbat. U'motza'e Shvi'it Haita. It was after the year of a Shemitah, which is the eighth year of the cycle. U'mishmarto shel Yehoyariv Haita. And the Kohanim, the family that was serving that week in the Beit HaMikdash, was Yehoyariv's family. V'alevi'im ayu omrin shira. And the Levi'im were standing on the Dukhan, by the Mizbeach, and they were singing shira. V'omdim al Dukhanam, and standing on their platform. U'ma shira ayu omrin. Well, what song were they singing? V'yashev alehem et onam, ubra'atam yetzmitim. Which means God is going to put on them their punishment, ubra'atam, and because of their evil, yetzmitim, God is going to destroy them. Ve'lo espiku lomar yetzmitim Hashem Eloheinu. And they did not finish the pasuk, because it says yetzmitim twice. Yetzmitim Hashem Eloheinu, before they were able to finish the pasuk, ad shebau nochrim v'kavshu. By the time they were about to finish the pasuk, which the pasuk says yetzmitim Hashem Elokeinu, which means God should destroy them. Before they got to even say those words, already it was too late. The Goyim entered the Hechal, and they started to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. So you're going to ask, why were they singing that song? That's the song for Yom Revi'i. That's not the song for Motzei Shabbat, for Yom Rishon.
Yeah.
Why were they singing the wrong Shir? So Rashi says, actually, we can read the Tosafot as well. Look at the bottom Tosafot. Birush. Be'oto pasuk yesh bet pa'amim yatzmitem. ולא הספיקו לומר השני עד שבאו וכבשום ואומר הרי אף על גב דאין אותו פסוק כלל במזמור של מוצאי שבת even though that's not the מזמור of מוצאי שבת יראה להם כך it happened that they sang it שאמרו אותו פסוק בירושלמי מפרש איליה נקט what is איליה? פירוש איליה הוי כמו אלה כבטולה דבי לשון קינה The word ilita is a kina, a lamentation, which means borei olam. Put that mizmor in their mouths, miraculously, b'diyuk at the time of the Hurban. Yetzmitem, what the pasuk says over there, what? V'yashem alehem etorab ubra'atam yetzmitem. So therefore, that was orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu, by divine design, that why they should say such words, and b'diyuk at that time, the enemies came into the Hechal, and they destroyed it. V'chein b'sheniya. And similarly, this happened in the second Beit HaMikdash as well, which is the same events that happened in the first Beit HaMikdash, like we just said, the Mishmar, Motzei Shemitah, etc., happened also in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash. The events actually repeated themselves. Nilkeda betar. The next thing we said, the calamity that happened on Tisha B'Av was the city of Betar was destroyed. Now Betar was a stronghold for Am Yisrael. Even after the destruction of the second temple, there was a stronghold of Jews that lived in the city of Betar. But on Tisha B'Av, years later, it was destroyed. And that already was the end. That was the final blow that the Romans took on Klal Yisrael. There was a chance, as long as Betar was around, that Am Yisrael would defeat the Romans and maybe even rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Once Betar was destroyed, that already, the Romans were able to declare final victory. So when was that destroyed? On Tisha B'Av. How do we know that? Gamra. Tradition. We have no pesukim for that. We just have a tradition from our forefathers. But that's when this happened. After that, after the destruction of Betar, the Romans came and they plowed Yerushalayim. They plowed the whole city. Everything was razed to the ground. Tanya, we have a braita. Right when Turnus Rufus, the Rasha, came to destroy, to destroy the Hechad, the sanctuary. Rabban Gamliel was the president of Klal Yisrael. They made a decree on him. What?
Death.
Ba Adon Ehad. So one of the masters, or I call them the officers of the government, came to the Beit HaMidrash. Ve'amad be'Beit HaMidrash ve'amar. Ba'al HaChotem mitbakesh. Ba'al HaChotem mitbakesh. Literally the one with the Chotem, with the prominent nose, is being requested. So that she says, Ba'al Koma Vesura. She's the prominent one, means the Hashuv one. Who's the most Hashuv in Klal Yisrael at the time? Rabban Gamliel, so they call Ba'al HaChotem. That she gives another interpretation, Gadol Ador. The Gadol Ador is requested by the government. The Mefarshim explained why, Maharsha says, why is he called Ba'al HaChotem? Because to Klal Yisrael, the value of Rabban Gamliel was, he was like the breath to our nostrils. And therefore, without Rabban Gamliel, Klal Yisrael cannot exist. I mean, he's the Gadol Ador. So therefore, Klal Yisrael nicknamed him Ba'al HaChotem. Because if Klal Yisrael is considered, let's say, all one body, let's say, and everybody is a part of that collective body, so the most important part is where you breathe from. So you breathe from your nose. So they would call Rabban Gamliel Ba'al HaChotem. He to us is the nostrils, which means where we have life from. In any event, Shama' Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel hears that he's being, you know, requested. He knows what he's being requested for. He's being requested to, they're going to kill him. Yeah. Azal, he went. Tasha, minayu, he ran from them. He went to hide. Azal, ligabe b'tzina'a. So the Adon found him. He found him in a private place, hiding. Amar le. So the Adon tells Rabban Gamliel, "Imatzil nalach. If I save you, ma'itit li la'almad ateh, will you give me a helik la'olam abba?" The Adon believed in olam abba, and he tells him, "Could you guarantee me olam abba if I save you?" Amar le hin. Rabban Gamliel says, "Yes." So this is what he did. Amar le ishtibali. He says, "Swear to me." So he swore to him. Salik le'igra. So the Adon climbed up to the roof. Nafil umit. He jumped off the roof and committed suicide. Now what does that do for anybody? V'gimiri, because we have a tradition. Dichi gazar gezirta. Whenever the Romans would make a gezira, a decree, umit had minayu, and then one of theirs would die, they would take that as a bad omen. They would say that must be because of the gezerah that we made against so-and-so, it caused one of ours to die. So what would they do? They would nullify the decree. So what this Adon actually did, by killing himself, he saved Rabban Gamliel. Because now there's one of ours died, okay, the gezerah of Rabban Gamliel is off. So he really saved him. Ad kedei kach. A goy understood what Olam Abba was. That he was willing to jump off a roof and die in order to secure a place in Olam Abba. To show you the emunah that even the goyim had. So what does it mean? Olam Abba. Yatzta bat kol ve'amra. A heavenly voice came out and said, Adon zeh mezuman haya Olam Abba. Yes indeed, this Adon has a prepared, he's prepared section in Olam Abba. Comes the Gemara and says, Taru Rabbanan, Meshacharei Bebayit Berishona, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beit HaMikdash, Nitkabitsu Kitot Kitot Shul Perchei Keuna. The young Kohanim that was serving the Beit HaMikdash, they gathered together, Umaftechot Ha'echal B'yadan. And they had the keys to the Beit HaMikdash, to the sanctuary. They had it in their hands. Ve'alu le'gag ha'echal. And they climbed up to the roof of the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'amru le'fanav. And they said, Ribono shel olam, ho'ir ve'lo zachinu le'yot gizbarim ne'emanim. Since we didn't have the zechut to be loyal caretakers of the Beit HaMikdash, which is obviously if you're destroying the Beit HaMikdash, we're guilty. We weren't loyal in taking care of the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash. Yehu maftechot masurot mecha. We got to give you back the keys. That is, which means we have to give you back the keys. We did not do our job properly. Vizarkum kelape ma'ala. So they took the keys and they threw them towards the heaven. Viyatzta ke'en pisat yad. And like a hand came out of the heavens, a palm hand, v'kibbalta mehem, and accepted the keys back. V'hem kafsu v'naflu letoch ha'ur. And they jumped in to the fire, which is when the Beit HaMikdash was already burning. So they jumped to the roof of the Beit HaMikdash to save themselves temporarily from the fire, and they returned the keys to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then they jumped into the fire themselves. Inevitably they were going to die regardless, so therefore it's not considered really a situation of suicide. They were going to, the fire was going to consume them regardless, and therefore the Mefarshim discussed that if you're going to die regardless, and it's going to be a miserable way to wait, to suffocate, to die like that with great tzad, so therefore one is able to take his life in such a way if it's going to happen in any event. In any event, va'alehem konen Yeshayahu Navi, on them Yeshayahu Navi laments and said, Masa gehizayon. Now this over here, gehizayon, as she says, is referring to the vision that he had about Yerushalayim. Hazayon is the vision to see, because everybody looks at Yerushalayim, as she says. Shakum is tekerim sham. So the vision of Hazayon, of the city of Hazayon, where everybody looks at. Ma lecha efo. The prophet said, what is happening here? Why? Ki alita kulecha legagot. All of you went up to the roofs. Teshuot melea ir homiya kirya aliza. Halalech lo halalecherev velo meteh milhamah. Which means the Pasuk says over here, the city that was a bustling city, a city that was a city of joy, that the city of Yerushalayim was great, and now what? It has all death. Halalech, but their death, their corpses are not corpses from Herev. They did not die from the enemy sword, velo meteh milhamah, nor from war. How did they die? They died by jumping into the fire on the roof of the Beit HaMikdash. Af b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu ne'emar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also we have the Pasuk. Well, what does the Pasuk say? Mekarkar kir v'showa elahar. That she says, Mekarkar lachon yelala. Which means God was wailing, like yelala, bemoaning. Kir v'showa mekonen v'zu'ik. These are all words of moaning and lamentations. Elahar. What's the har? Har Sion. Har Sion Sheshamim. God himself was crying, kivyachol, lamenting the situation of what? That Har Sion was being destroyed. Comes the Gemara and continues. So we've proven all the five events that happened on Tisha B'Av. We prove exactly how do we know that these things happened. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishneknas Av, Mema'atim B'Simcha. We learned in the Mishnah, when the month of Av enters, then already we have to minimize our happiness, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Bere Derav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmeh Derav Keshem Shmenichnas Av Ma'atim B'Simcha Kach Mishnichnas Adar Barbim B'Simcha. So just like when it comes to Av, we Mima'at Simcha, we minimize our Simcha. When it comes to the month of Adar, we have to increase our simcha. Now she says over here, why are we increasing our simcha in Adar? So he says, Yemen nisim ayu l'Yisrael, Purim u'Pesach. She says, she's telling us a very important insight over here. The simcha of Adar is not only the simcha of Purim. It's also Purim and Pesach, which is now we're entering the months of miracles. So we have a double month. So it's really Nisan also has the same Simcha. It's a 2 month Simcha for Klal Yisrael. In any event, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, we go to the Amud Bet, Hilkach, therefore, Bar Yisrael de itle dina ba'de nukhri. If a Bar Yisrael, if a Jew has a court case with a goy, lishtamit mine be'av, you should avoid appearing with him in court in the month of Av. Why? Dereya mazale, because the mazal of Am Yisrael in the month of Av is very weak. It's not good. But let him make himself accessible for the court case in the month of Adar. Why? Debari mazale, because the mazal is strong. And the Tosfot quotes we learned on the previous daf, Megalgelin zechut liyom zakai, which means on good days they're earmarked for good things to happen, and therefore same thing, Megalgelin chova liyom hayav. We don't want to get involved in the month of Av, which is a bad luck month, and therefore he says do it in Adar. That's the Gemara says. Some say, again, Avraham brings down in Siman Taf Kuf Nun Aleph, in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruham, that you should really, don't go in the month of Av, the whole month. You shouldn't start the court case till Rosh Chodesh Elul, at least, until the month is totally over. Korban today wants to say, no, after Shabbat Av, you don't have to wait the whole month of Av, you can go after the fast is over, you can start going to the court case. But the best time would be in Adar. Now the Gemara gives a Pasuk. This pasuk over here is just another statement of Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Since we quoted him already, we're quoting some other statements not related to what we're talking about, but they're related to the fact that the same author made both statements. Latet lachem aharit v'tikva. It says, "Bori Olam exiled the Jewish people to Bavel." So since he exiled us, latet lachem aharit, to give us a future v'tikva and hope. How is the exile in Bavel giving us future and hope? Amar Rav Yehuda Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Meshemed Derav Elu Dekalim Uchli Peshtan. This is referring to the Dekalim. That was the palm trees where we had the dates, where we were able to support ourselves comfortably in Bavel because they had good palms, right? A supply of it. And Kli Peshtan, that's the flax, the linens, clothes. So therefore, even though I sent you to Galut, there was a Harit V'Tikva, there was hope for you. Which means I sent you to a place where there's fruit over there and there's clothes, in order that you'd be able to sustain yourselves in the Galut. The reason why these are called Aharit V'Tikva, the Maharsha says, because these things endure. It seems the dates on the tree, they stay for a long time, and Kli Peshtan also lasts for a long time. So Aharit V'Tikva, I'm giving you a future and hope and anticipation, that's referring to these things that have durability to them. Next derasha, Vayomer Re'er Reyach Beni Kereyach Sadeh Asher Berachu Hashem. This is when Yaakov Abinu went into his father Yitzhak, wearing Esav's clothes. Now the clothes of Yitzhak were made of Gidei Azim. They were made of goat's hair. Now nothing smells worse than goat's hair. And here he walks into Yaakov Abinu, and what is, he walks into Yitzhak Abinu, and what does Yitzhak Abinu say? Re'ach Beni, the smell of my son, Kereyach Sadeh Asher Berachu Hashem, like the fragrance of a Sadeh that God blessed. So what is this fragrance? Amar Yehuda Bered Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Meshved Rav Kereyach Sadeh Shel Tapuhim, like a field of Tapuhim. What is Tapuhim? So look at the Tosafot. Tosafot says over here, Shel Tapuhim Yesh Mefarshim Tapuhim Kereyach Etrogim. Jesus, it smelled like a patch of Etrogim. It's a delicious smell, like the smell of Gan Eden, the citron. So therefore we see that this was not simply explained. Kereach Sadeh is Reyach Sadeh Shel Tapuhim. Okay, now we go back to the halakha of the week of Tisha B'Av and the different things that are forbidden during that week. Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av Duot Petucha, the week of Tisha B'Av, Asurin L'Saper L'Chabes. So it's forbidden to take haircuts, and the chabez is to launder clothes. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, lo shanu ela lechabez vililbosh. The only isur is to launder, to wear. Aval lechabez ulaniyah mutar. But to launder clothes and just put them in your drawer, mutar. I mean, he's learning over here, very important din over here. The whole isur in kivisa is what? Kivisa al menat lilbosh. But if just to wash your clothes and put them in your closet and wear them after the Shabbat, no problem. Now, even laundering itself is asur. Why? Because it takes your mind off of the avilut. You have to remember, In the olden days, the laundering was a serious process. You have to go down to the river, and you have to, you know, go to take the clothes with you, and you have to put them in the river, and then you have to sweat them, you have to squeeze them out, and the detergent, and dry them. It's a whole process. Yeah. So getting, even if you're not going to wear them, but being involved in this task of kibbutz is going to take one's mind off the avilut. So I don't want a person to be preoccupied in other avodah besides the avilut at hand. So therefore, even to wash, to put in the closet, according to this rabbi of Sheshat, is a su. So we have a great machlokdin of Nachman and of Sheshat. Amar of Sheshat, teda. I'll prove to you that I'm right. De batle katsre de berav. The week after Shah Be'av, the launderers in Rav's house, they took off. They didn't work. Then why did they work? According to Rav Sheshat, according to Rav Nachman, they should have worked. Let them wash. I put it in the closet. Yeah. It must be they took off totally. Why? Because even to wash it all is asur. The Sfot says, why do they call the launderers katsre? Katsre is to shorten. Because what happens when you launder the clothes? They shrink. So therefore they call the launderers the katsre, the ones that shrink the clothes. Mativ Rava Menuna. So Rava Menuna asks the following question. That's the question. He asked the question like this: Ubahamishi mutarin mepene kebod Shabbat, which means on Thursday, the week of Shabbat, on Thursday it's mutar to launder your clothes because of kebod of Shabbat. That is the week of Shabbat. We have a bright that says on Thursday of the week of Shabbat you're allowed to launder your clothes. Let's say Shabbat is on a Friday. Okay, Shabbat is on a Friday. So Thursday, we let you launder the clothes because you have to have clean clothes for Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Lemai. What are we talking laundering clothes? If you tell me we're going to let you launder clothes on Thursday and wear them on Thursday, my kibbutz Shabbat ika. What kind of kibbutz Shabbat is to wear clean clothes on Thursday? Lechmot Shabbat? No, that's not kibbutz Shabbat. Ela le'aniyah. Most people are letting you wash the clothes on Thursday. Le'aniyah for Shabbat. Uvahamishiu deshari, avala Shabbat kula asur. And what do you see over here? Only lechabes ulaniyah is mutar on Thursday. Masma that the rest of the days of the week, asur lechabes afilu laniyah. And therefore, we're bringing a proof of it that kibbutz. Rav Sheshat is bringing a proof that kibbutz is asur legamre. Understand? Because why would the Gemara give a dispensation? The Gemara says, you know, on Thursday, we'll let you wash the clothes, lechmot Shabbat. But Shabbat what? That means you're washing it on Thursday to wear it on Shabbat. That means it's lechabes. Well, then, yeah, what are you going to wear on Thursday for? Thursday's not kabot Shabbat, so it's kabot Shabbat to wear clean clothes on Thursday? It's the pinnacle of the Shabbat. So it must be you're laundering it on Thursday to wear it on Shabbat. Good, so lechabes ulaniyah is dafka mutar on when?
Thursday.
But lechabes ulaniyah masma is asur the rest of the week. Kevara said, no, le'olam, lechabes vililbosh. No, it's not about where you're washing it on Thursday and you're wearing it on Thursday. Where's the kabot Shabbat? Ubishe'en lo ela haluk ehad. It's talking about when a guy only has one shirt. He has one robe. And therefore, it's Kavod Shabbat for him to wear. So we're not going to let him clean the clothes on Shabbat on Friday. So we let him clean it on Thursday. So at least his clothes are somewhat clean going into Shabbat. But he's wearing it on Thursday. And the Kavod Shabbat is at least the clothes are somewhat clean going into Shabbat. But he only has one garment. Which means, really, I'll tell you, you're allowed to wash the clothes laniyah all week long. All week long. The Hiddush is, in one case, you're allowed to wash the clothes and even wear them. When is that? Thursday? When you only have one garment. Then it's mutar even lechabes v'lilbosh. But lechabes ulaniyah, mutar the whole week. That's the way Rav Nachman will answer the Braita. Yeah? The Amar of Aseh, how do we know this one cloak dispensation? How do we know this item? If you have one garment, we're lenient. The Amar of Aseh, Amar of Yohanan, Mi she'en lo ela haluk echad, mutar lechabeso b'cholo shel mo'ed. So we know on Cholam Mo'ed, really you're not supposed to launder your clothes. You're supposed to launder your clothes from beforehand. But the Gemara says over here, if a person has one garment, it's permissible for him to launder it even on Cholam Mo'ed, and wear it on Cholam Mo'ed. And as she tells us over here, that what? She'en lo ela haluk echad, ve'lo sagi lo mechabes opnei ha'kelima, ve'afilu kibes lefnei ha'mo'ed mutar, which means you're going to clean it because you don't want to get the lice. It gets dirty. Even if you washed it before Chol HaMoed, doesn't matter. Wash it again, because he only has one garment. So you see what? We have a dispensation for washing garments, even on Chol HaMoed when it's Asur, if it's only one. Tosafot over here has a whole discussion over here about cleaning children's clothes. Even though you have a lot of them, but that's considered like one garment, because they always wear, they dirty them over and over again, so it's like you're not going to have enough for the children. So therefore he writes over here that from here we see that children's clothes, for whatever age, youngsters that dirty their clothes consistently would be allowed as well. Itmar Nameh, we have an Amoraic statement. Amar Rabbi Binyamin, Amar Bin Azar, Lo Shanu Ela Lekabez Vililbosh. That we say it's asur to launder, that's only to launder and wear. So we have another Amoraic statement to prove the opinion of Rav Nachman that the Chabes ul-Haniyah is indeed mutar. Metive, we have a question. Asur the Chabes lefne Tishra Be'av, afilu le-Haniyah, le-Achar Tishra Be'av. This is the statement over here. It's asur to launder clothes before Tishra Be'av, even afilu le-Haniyah le-Achar Tishra Be'av. So right there you have a question. Even to leave it after Tishra Be'av, you cannot. Asur le-Chabes b'chlal. That's a proof to Rav Sheshat. Question against Rav Nachman. We continue. The gihutz shelanu kikibus shelahim, which means there's two forms of laundering clothes. One is called gihutz, and one is pressing, and one is called kibus. Kibus is with water. In Bavel, the water was not clear; it wasn't good, and therefore the kibus in Bavel really wasn't worth too much. The kibus of Bavel was inferior to the kibus of Eretz Yisrael. So for them in Bavel, gihutz, which is the pressing, was equal to kibus of Eretz Yisrael. And so in Eretz Yisrael, kibus is asur, and in Bavel, gihutz is asur. That's what Gemara gives us the opinions there. The gihutz shelanu, the gihutz, the pressing of Bavel, kikibutz shelahem. Look at Rashi. Vigihutz shelanu. Elu yafeh lekikibutz shelahem. Vasu legahetz tefnet tishra be'av. Vafilu laniach lahar tishra be'av. Aval kibutz shelanu mutar. But the kibutz of Bavel, mutar. That was inferior, I told you. The water wasn't really clear like Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, that was mutar. But what do you see from this bright over here? Even though you're cleaning it before Tishra B'Av, it's asur afilu laniyah after Tishra B'Av. Now, uchli pishtan, Braita continues, uchli pishtan, that's the linen clothes, em ba'em mishum gihutz, which means even gihutz is permissible, because gihutz doesn't benefit it, because what happens with linen clothes? Wrinkling. They always wrinkle. Right. And therefore, even gihutz is not going to benefit. So therefore, it'd be permissible to make gihutz on linen clothes, because you don't see the benefit from it. Bottom line, the Gemara says, Tiyufta. We have a refutation to the opinion of Rav Nachman from Tanaim. Rav Nachman was Amora. He came along and said, Lechabesu laniyach mutar. We have a clear bright that says over, Lechabesu laniyach is asur. So therefore the Gemara leaves it off in a tiyufta refutation. Good? Comes Gemara and says, Shalach Rav Yitzchak bar giyure meshemed Rabbi Yohanan. Right? So Rav Yitzchak bar giyure sent from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, who was rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. Afapi she'amnu kli pishtan em behem mishum gihutz. Which even though we said that klipishtan gihutz does not benefit them, because we said they wrinkle, they don't really get clean from it. Aval asul lelovshan b'Shabbat shechal tishah be'av liyot betocha. But still, you shouldn't wear them during the week of tishah be'av. Geez, the gihutz is not a problem, but what? Do not wear klipishtan that were miguhatzim during the week of Tisha B'Av. Amar Rav, so Rav says, Lo shanu ela lefanav. Only, mean before the fest, to wear it. Aval acharav mutar. But after Tisha B'Av, wear them. No problem. Tisha B'Av is over, wear them. No problem. Ushmuel amar afidu acharav name asur. So now we have a machloket Rav and Shmuel. When we say the clothes are asur during the week of Tisha B'Av, right? So Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, listen, gihutz is not a problem in Bavel, but don't wear them the week of Tisha B'Av. So we have a machloket to what extent? Rav says it means until Tisha B'Av, but after the week of after Tisha B'Av, I mean, even though it's the same week of Tisha B'Av, it'll be permissible. Shmuel says, no. You're not allowed to wear these items the whole entire week, even after Tisha B'Av. Comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a question. Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av Liot Betucha. This is a long braita now. The Shabbat, the week of Tisha B'Av. אסור לספר ולכבס. Good, אסור את הקרקץ that week, אסור to launder clothes. ובחמישים מותרים בפני כבוד השבת. But on Thursday it's permissible, these things בפני כבוד השבת. כיצד? חל להיות באחד בשבת. Let's say, שבת comes out on a Sunday. מותר לכבס כל השבת כולה. Good, so the whole week you can launder and take haircuts. The week before. There's no week, that's why, because it starts on Sunday. So the week before, there's no problem, because there's no Shavua, Shachal Bot Tisha B'Av. B'Sheni, B'Shilishi, B'Rbi'i, U'B'Hamishi. If Tisha B'Av comes out on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday, Lefanav Asur. Right? So all the days before are going to be Asur. Le'acharav Mutar. But the days after, even though it's the same week, will be Mutar. Haliyot be'erev Shabbat. Now let's say Tisha B'Av comes out on a Friday. Mutar lechabes b'chamishi mipenei kibod Shabbat. Like we said, then you can do it on Thursday. Mipenei kibod Shabbat. Ve'im lo kibes b'chamishi b'Shabbat. And let's say you didn't launder on Thursday. Mutar lechabes be'erev Shabbat mina mincha ul ma'ala. Wow. They even allow you on Tisha B'Av day itself. From mincha and on to launder clothes. But Tisha B'Av comes out on a Friday. The bright is telling you, lechbot Shabbat, do it on Thursday. Wow. But you know what? You didn't do it on Thursday. Tisha B'Av day itself from Minchan on. That this is all part of the bright. Yeah. For a moment, the Gemara digresses outside the bright to give us an opinion that's going to go back to the bright. What's the opinion? La yit ala Abaye. Abaye cursed. The etima of Ahabar Yaakov, or some say of Ahabar Yaakov cursed. Aha. On somebody that would launder clothes on Tisha B'Av. Even though the Braita says you could do it on Friday at Mincha time, Layit ala right. I'm going to curse the people that would do such a thing. Good? That's like in parentheses. Now we go back to the Braita. Haliyot b'sheni u'b'hamishi. Now we go back to a new deen in the Braita. We're getting to a question here, but we're giving the full version of the Braita. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Monday and a Thursday, Monday or Thursday, Korin Shilosha Umaftir Echad. Well, on Mondays and Thursdays, anyway, we have Sefer Torah. How many people go up to the Sefer Torah Mondays and Thursdays? Three. So therefore, we send up the same three people that we would send up anyway if it wasn't the Tisha B'Av, Monday and Thursday. It's just that the third one is the Maftir, which in the third one reads a Haftarah. So it's not four Olim, it's three Olim, and one of them, meaning the third one, is considered the Maftir. That's when it comes out on a Monday and a Thursday. However, Beshilishi Ubarbi'i, if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, where there's not, it's not a Sefer Torah day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Korin Echad Umaftir Echad. One guy goes up to the Sefer Torah and he is the Maftir. Why? Because that's not a Sefer Torah day. If it wasn't the Tisha B'Av, you have nobody going up. And therefore, because it's Tisha B'Av, you send up one Oleh, and he is the Maftir. You got that opinion? Rabbi Yosef Omer, Le'olam, Kolin, Shilosha, U'Maftir Echad. He said, no, you always send up three. Whether it comes out on a Monday or Thursday, or Tuesday or Wednesday, you always send up three, and the third one is the Maftir. Okay, that's side point. Now let's get back to our question. What was the question over here? So the Gemara says, Tiyufta Dishmuel. This is indeed a question against Shmuel. Why? Look at the one line before they get wide. Actually, the first wide line. Ehad korev u'bafrum abtir katani mihat. Partial quotation from the Braita. Le'acharav mutar. The Braita said that only before Tisha B'Av asur lechabes ul'saper. First wide line in Nashi.
But after
is mutar. Shmuel held that when we say the week of Tisha B'Av, it's the whole week even after. That Shmuel is an Amorah. Can't argue against a Braita. We have a Tanaic statement over in the Braita that says la'acharav mutar tiyufta de Shmuel. Gemara says amar lecha Shmuel. Shmuel says Tanaei. So what do you want from me? I have a Tana that agrees with me. You showed me a Tana that says La Harav Mutar. I'll show you another Torah that says La'harav Asur. Yeah, let's get clear. What are we talking about over here? The week of Tisha B'Av. Everybody agrees before Tisha B'Av, Asur L'Chabes, Asur L'Saper. The question now, Tisha B'Av is over. Tisha B'Av ended on Tuesday. Wednesday is still the week of Tisha B'Av. So according to Shemuel, he says, okay, it's the week, Asur. All week is Asur till after Shabbat. However, the other opinion say, no, what are you talking about? When we say Asur L'Chabes, Asur L'Saper, it means until Tisha B'Av. After Shabbat, but still the week. I don't care, still the week. Bottom line, the week means up until. So Shemuel's going to come along and say, you're bringing a question from a Braita. I'll show you a Braita that clearly says, La'harav is indeed Asur. What's the Braita? Detanya, we have a Braita. Shabbat, Shechal Liyot, B'Shabbat. Can happen. Shabbat falls out, let's say, on Shabbat itself. V'chein Erev Shabbat, Shechal Liyot, B'Shabbat. Or let's say the Erev Shabbat falls out on Shabbat, meaning Shabbat is on a Sunday. So the Erev is on Shabbat. Now remember we learned in the Mishnah that on Erev Tisha B'Av, at the Saudat of Mafseket, right, the Saudat right before the fast, you only have to have one tafshil, right? One cooked item, you don't have to have fish, you don't have to have meat, there's certain restrictions. So it says, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, obviously we don't fast on Shabbat. If Erev Shabbat, if Shabbat is Erev Tisha B'Av as well, the deen is, Ochel v'shote kol tzorko. You eat whatever you want. Which means there's no restrictions now when it comes to the Seudat HaMafseket. On Shabbat, you only have to have one cooked meal. You can have as much food as you want on Shabbat. There's no avelut bichlal. Huma'ale al shulchano, afilu k'Seudat Shelomo b'shato. You're allowed to put food on your table, even as much food like King Solomon in his day, in his time. Which means there's no avilut bichlal on Shabbat. Now what does it mean, Shlomo in his time? Of course in his time, when he was the king. This Gemara is following the opinion of Masechet Gittin that says, Shlomo HaMelech was a king, and then he lost his kingdom. It says, Malach ve'hidyot. But is a mahloket, did he return to his kingdom or not? So therefore, since it's a machlok, and if he returned to his kingdom or not, the Gemara is saying that b'shato, meaning in his time when he was the king, because there was a period of time where he was not a king, where he was a idiot. When Shlomo was a king, on his table, he had all the delicacies. So they're saying on Shabbat, even though it's Tisha B'Av, or if it's Tisha B'Av, no problem. Now, v'asur l'saper ul'chabes. Look at these opinions here. It's asur to take haircuts, or to launder, מרוש חודש ועד התענית ורבי מאיר. Oh, now we have a new opinion now, 9 days. From Rosh Chodesh until the first day, it's אסור to do haircuts and laundry. רבי יהודה אומר, כל החודש כולו אסור. רבי יהודה says, the whole month of Av is אסור. רבן שמעון גמליאל אומר, אינו אסור אלא אותה שבת בלבד. רבי מאיר, רבי ששבן כלומר says, only the week of Shabbat. So let's review the three שיטות. You have one opinion, רבי מאיר, we have the 9 days. From Rosh Chodesh until the Ta'anit. You have Rabbi Yoseh. Rabbi Yoseh comes along and says the whole month is Asur. Then you have Rashbag, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, he says, no, the week of. Meaning Shabbat of Tisha B'Av. V'tanya Idach, and we have a Braita. Actually, let's just look at the bottom Nashi for a second. V'ad Ta'anit. Right, that's Rabbi Meir. From Rosh Chodesh to the Ta'anit. Alma. That's clear. Because it's Ad HaTa'anit. Which is right after Tisha B'Av, all these things are permissible. That's clear. Because according to the other rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, he said, the whole month. Vaday L'Harav is Asur. And according to Rashbag, he said, Shavuah Shechal Mot Tisha B'Av. The week. He didn't ma'alek, he should have said until the fast. So we see already two Tanaim that hold
the whole week.
After the fast was also going to be Asur. How much after? That's a machlok. But you see what? Shmuel has well support from this Braita. Good? So Gemara says, V'tanya idak leva Braita, V'noheg avel Merosh Chodesh V'ad ta'anit V'ed b'meir Rabbi Yehuda Amer Kol ha'chodesh kolo asur Rabbat Shmuel Gemara Amer Eno asur Ela otah Shabbat Belvad. Same thing. The avelut. Person has to have avelut on himself. Same parameters. Either Rosh Chodesh to the fast, either the whole month or the whole week. Now the Gemara is going to ask, where did they learn this from? How does one rabbi know 9 days? How does one rabbi know the whole month? How does another rabbi know the week? So the Gemara says, Amar Yohanan Ushloshtan Mikra Echad Darshu. All the rabbis, they were Doresh the same Pasuk. Tichtiv, the Pasuk writes in Hosea, Vishbati, I will cause to cease, cessation, Kol Misosa, all the joy, Haga, literally its festivals, Chodsha, its months, Vishabbata, and its Shabbatot, Vichol Mu'ada. So now the Gemara analyzes here. We have three words here. We have Haga, Chodsha, Shabbata. So each rabbi now is going to focus on one of those words. So the Gemara says like this: Man damar merosh chodesh rata ta'anit mina bimeir. That says it starts from merosh chodesh until the ta'anit mehaga. He's doresh that what God's going to cause the cessation of happiness mehaga. Rosh chodesh is called a hag, and therefore mehaga starting on rosh chodesh. That's what's going to be. How do we know Rosh Chodesh is called a hag? Because we learned on the previous Amud, Kala Alay Mu'ed. Right? We said Rosh Chodesh is called a Mu'ed. Okay. Uman Damar Kola Chodesh Kulo. Rabbi Yehuda is the whole month. It's going to be Asur. Because it says Mechodsha, meaning its month. Uman Damar Kola Shabbat Kula. That's Lashbag. Asur Meshabbata. Good. So now we have the three opinions documented. Haga, Chodsha, Shabbata. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, who's the halakha like? Halakha kerabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Which would mean what? The week of Tisha B'Av. Now stop at this point. Week means what? Even after. V'amar Rava, the same rabbi said, Halakha kerabim Meir. What do you mean? Make up your mind. The Bim Meir held from Rosh Chodesh until the Ta'anit. How could Rabba make two statements that are contradictory? Make up your mind. Is the halakha like Rabbi Meir or is the halakha like Rashbag? V'tarvayu lekula. Both of them utter leniency. He took the leniencies of both. Which means like this. The leniency of Rabbi Meir is what? Until the Tanit, but not after. The leniency of Rashbag is only the week of. So therefore, take the week of up until the fest. We're taking the leniencies of both opinions. So yeah, the week of Tisha B'Av ad Hatani, the Gemara says Vesiricha. He needed to tell me both. Rabbah needed to say both statements. Halakha can be Meir and Halakha can Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Why? The Yashmi'in Halakha can be Meir, because if you just told me Halakha can be Meir, Hava Amina Afilu Mirosh Chodesh. Rabbi Meir says it's Asur even from Mirosh Chodesh. Kamash Ma'alan Halakha can Rashbag. That's why the Tamik Rashbag doesn't start from Rosh Chodesh, only the week of. V'yashmeinen l'chak Rashbag, if you told me l'chak Rashbag, hava amina afidu l'acharav. I would have said even after the fifth, because he says the whole week. Kamashmana l'chak Rimir, ah, the Ta'anis. And therefore, tzarvayu l'kula. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.